Hello, I'm Sherry Gibson. I'm very pleased to be hosting this week's in-depth interview, and I am joined by Beth Heitkamp, who is the principal at Aquin Catholic Academy, as well as Blake Musser, who has a couple of students at Aquin Catholic Academy. And so welcome to the program today, both of you. It's a pleasure to meet you. And some of our listeners may have heard me refer to Aquin as Aquin Catholic Academy, which is something a little bit new. Beth, can you tell us a little bit more about that transition?
Absolutely. Thank you for having us, Sherry. Last year, we had a new chapter in Aquin's long history. We transitioned to being a pre-K through 8 school, where previously we had been a pre-K through 12 school. So we did that to focus more on the intentionality of keeping our lower grades very vibrant and to sustain Catholic education in Freeport.
So it is an alternative choice for people if they are wanting choices in the education of their kids. And we're going to talk more about that with Blake. But Beth, I'd like you to, if you would, talk a little bit about why the change.
Yeah, so like many schools across the country, we've seen shifting enrollment patterns at our school over the last, 10 years. And so we reflected on that. We're trying to every year look at improving and changing ourselves. So we made the difficult decision to transition to the pre-K through 8 model. That allows us to focus our energy and particularly our resources into strengthening those younger grades, offering early childhood and up through middle school, and doing it in a way that is strong and exceptional. And that's what we strive for.
You mentioned the model. There is a different model and kind of a different way that you're approaching this.
It is. So we've moved to what we call a micro school model. And it's intentionally small and keeping the environment small enough that, obviously, so that we can continue to grow and do the best by our students, but also so that we can give the individual attention to each student that we need to.
Now, you've actually combined some of the grade levels. I find that interesting.
Yeah. So, up until the 1950s, we actually had multiple grade classrooms. People don't realize that because we've grown up in a single grade classroom. So all 5-year-olds together, 6-year-olds, et cetera. But the research tells us that it is not better or worse to do them together. It's just different. So we have always had pre-K together, so 3s and 4s together. We kept kindergarten separated, and we combined 1st and 2nd, 3rd and 4th, 5th and 6th, and then 7th and 8th grade. And by doing that, we give the kids the opportunity to help one another, to learn from each other, and to hear things over and over again that they heard the previous year, maybe, or they'll hear again the following year. So it gives them a lot more repetition and basis for learning, and they strive and love to do that.
Younger kids, typically look up to the older kids.
Absolutely.
As role models. So do you find that happening in the classroom?
Absolutely, yeah. We find that the younger grade kids just want to do what all the other kids are doing. So especially like we have our 1st and 2nd graders together, and our 2nd graders, math just jumps tremendously from 1st grade to 2nd grade. And so where we're doing simple addition or 2-digit addition with 1st graders, we're almost into multiplication with 2nd graders. So this year, our 2nd graders started learning their multiplication tables, and they start pretty simple, 0s and 1s and 2s and 5s, because they can count by those numbers. But the 1st graders were like, nope, we're going to learn these too. And the teacher had to kind of adjust. And, they're not learning necessarily the in-depth part of how you multiply and why you multiply yet, but they are learning what the answers are, so that automaticity when it comes to multiplying is there. And so they're memorizing and learning, and all of a sudden they're doing exactly what the 2nd graders are doing, and they're only in 1st grade.
So you're seeing them advance a little faster.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What about the older kids then? Are they kind of, taking the younger kids under their wing, so to speak?
Absolutely.
Are you seeing that?
Yeah, they don't like to see the younger ones struggle. So they'll, naturally kind of go over and say, hey, can I help you with this? Or if a teacher is working with a different grouping, then sometimes they will, kind of go over and say, hey, what do you need right now? Because I see that you're stuck. Or they just stop working, or they kind of, hey, we're doing this now, and kind of move them to whatever the activity is at that point.
So they get a little leadership skill.
They absolutely
things
do.
Like that too.
Yeah.
How are the teachers adapting to this?
You know, our teachers are some of the best. In the 30-year career I've had, these are some of the best teachers I've ever worked with. And they, you know, it's been a lot of work for them. They spent a lot of time last summer doing it, but they have just done an amazing job with bringing the kids together. You know, it took a little bit at the beginning to kind of find the flow.
Sure.
You know, when you're dealing with two different grade levels and you're working with one and you're not necessarily working with the other, there's a little bit of a rhythm that has to happen. But they did that and they've been amazing. Our teachers are real veterans. We've had most of our staff have, you know, 10, 15 years of experience plus. So we don't have any turnover in our staff. And that has been amazing for
us. That says something.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Blake, I want to talk to you a little bit. You have two children, right, at Aquin Catholic Academy? And what are their ages?
I have an 11-year-old and a 9-year-old. So one that's going into sixth grade and one going into fourth grade.
So have they actually experienced this new model yet?
100%. And it's been absolutely amazing for both the kids for very, very different reasons, because as anybody that has more than one kid knows, every child is extremely different. And I have to say that not only have I always, I'm an Aquin grad myself, and so I have experienced this legacy and the importance of the education that was provided by Aquin. But this new micro academy model has only leveled it up this next level for as far as I'm seeing into all of this. Aquin has always instilled a sense of purpose, you know, yourself. They really, you know, fostering the individual, both spiritually, mentally, you know, academically. This other model actually allows the teacher to be very, very specific to the child, that if there's an extra concern for the kid, they're able, because it's such a small class, and on top of that, the model is designed to be adaptive, that they're able to address whatever's going on, whether it's a negative or a positive. If somebody's struggling, okay, we can slow it down intentionally for this child, or, boy, you're just flying
Zooming
through this.
Right along.
let's give you that extra help. And I'll also comment on one of Beth's points is that for the youngers, they get pulled forward. But for the olders, as someone that has done education themselves in other capacities, one of the best ways to teach somebody something is for them to teach it themselves. And that is what Beth is referring to slightly there too, is that the older kids have the opportunity to step down and have to say it in their own words, which just deeply imprints that information into them.
And brings it right home.
And then the other advantage that is especially for one of my kids, the opportunity, because they were both the youngest in that two grade system this last time, that they get that teacher again this next year. And for one in particular, that is going to help them so much academically, because that teacher already knows that student really deeply and knows us really deeply. And we can surround them and bring them to the highest point of excellence that they can. And it's just, and instead of having to, that first, you know, few weeks of getting to know the new teacher, getting to know the new classroom, that's gone. And now they get to hit the ground running with education.
So when you say the teacher knows you as parents personally.
Yes.
So families are very involved with this, right?
Oh, yeah. Yes. One of the reasons why we came back to Aquin is once a bulldog, always a bulldog. I was in the military myself and, you know, I was a Marine. So once a Marine, always a Marine. And it's just kind of this legacy piece of once you're there and you're part of the family, you're always the family. And it's a family environment. And it just helps everybody. We actually just had we invited, because the classes are so small, we were able to invite the entire classes over to our house for a fire pit. It was this past weekend. So a lot of the kids' classmates were able to come over with the parents, and we're all able to hang out for a little while. And it's just a really tight net.
And I would assume that when the kids see that kind of support from all of the different parents, that only, you know, magnifies
right.
it all.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that I believe Aquin really helps push is that you're not just there for academics. they're important, obviously, but there's spiritual and personal growth that goes along with that too. One of the things that I've said to anybody that will listen is, as I mentioned, I was in the military, and since I got out, which was in 2004, I've been doing presentations at high schools and schools around the country, actually, out in DC for a long period of time when I was living there. And so I was going to the charter schools that senators' kids went to, doing this presentation that I do for Veterans Day. That, when I did it back in Akron, by far the best questions, most attentive, most respectful, thoughtful, you know, it was just, it was beyond anything else that I experienced in any of the other schools that I've ever been to, because those kids understood that there's pieces to life. There's not just education. There's the spirituality and there's the individual. And so they were asking these really great questions that were, you know, beyond what other schools do.
This may seem like an obvious question, Beth, but I'm guessing that people may be thinking it in their heads. Do you have to be a Catholic to go to Akron Catholic Academy?
No, actually, you don't. In fact, we have about 50-50 between our Catholic families and our non-Catholic families. We welcome anybody to come. We certainly do hold to our Catholic traditions, and we go to Mass every week, and we do prayer services, and we incorporate all of that. But what we ask is for you to participate in whatever it is you believe in and put yourself into it, because that's what we're asked to do. You know, part of being Catholic is serving other people. We spend a lot of time doing service projects for others. In the history of Akron, we've had some very good people who have been affected, you know, by different things. We have one gentleman in particular, his name is Mike Frank. He was in an accident many years ago now. I have never met him personally because I've only been at Akron since 2020. But every year, one of the organizations always did a fundraiser for him because he uses equine therapy, horse therapy, and he absolutely loves it. He's paralyzed mostly. And our kids still this year raise money for him, so that we can help pay for those things that his insurance doesn't pay for. And our kids raised a good amount of money for him. They got a card back from his family. They're just blown away every time, because these are children who've never met him. They hear his story and they want to help. And that's part of what being a bulldog is. It's part of once a bulldog, always a bulldog. And he is still a bulldog, even if he's not the same person he was when he graduated high school. But they got a thank you card back, and in it, the family sent pictures of him on the horse, and they had tons of questions, like right away. What is that? Why are they doing that? How is that holding him up? Because he doesn't have control of his body all the time. And so they were very, very curious, and they're very excited because they're like, next year we're going to raise even more money. So, you know, it's kind of exciting for them to have those people and those legacy things. One of the other things that Akron does, which I think is a really amazing opportunity, is we have a 50-year reunion. So the 50-year, they call it the 50-year club. The group that hosts is the current year's 50. So this year will be 1975, the class of 75. They're the hosts because they're the youngest. Let's face it, they have the most energy. But they invite everybody who's been a bulldog 50 years or more. So we have 75 people that come every year to our reunion party, and they love seeing what the kids are doing now. And it's a great connection between that.
Wonderful values you're instilling.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Since you're a private school, you do have tuition.
Yes.
Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. Unfortunately, we aren't a public system. So there is tuition involved. However, I think we're very comparable to other private schools in the area. And one of the things we strive really hard is to make sure that money is not the reason that someone can't come to Akron. We have scholarships. We have a new transfer grant, which we're giving to everybody who comes in that's new. It's $1,500 off the year. That's new for us this year because we're trying to have people kind of test us out and see how it goes. And we certainly think once you get there, you won't want to leave. So
I think you've answered this already, but are there any other things that you can think of that we haven't already talked about as to what makes Acqun different?
I would say it has to be the community. I think Blake would agree with that. We are a very close community. If something happens to someone in our community, we all are like, what can we do? What can we do to help, you know, whatever it is you need, whether it's a new transition, whether it's just wrapping our arms around you for a little bit to make you feel comforted or seen in a situation. You know, we all have deep connections to one another. And it is, I think, whatever as a parent, and I have two children of my own, they're grown and flown now. But it's what Acqun is, the environment you hope for as a parent. You want your kids to go and be loved the way they are at home. And I think that's what we do best. We don't single someone out. We don't categorize you in such a way that we're not supporting that. You know, obviously, all children are different. We've known that. Educators have known that forever. I don't know if the legislators know that sometimes, but educators know, and we treat you as you need to be treated. And it's every day is a new day. You know, yeah, so something bad happened yesterday. We work on it. We move forward. This is the opportunity to teach you how to do it better and do it different next time. And hopefully they take those things out into the world. But I really think it's what parents hope for in a school.
Now, you said that you are now pre-K through 8.
Correct.
So then what happens when they complete 8th grade?
So after 8th grade, this year was our first year doing that, obviously. It looks like our kids are going to be going to their home school districts. So we draw from multiple school districts around the area. The majority come from Freeport, just, I think, because of ease and convenience. But it looks like they'll be headed to their local high schools.
Blake, do you have anything else from a father's standpoint that you wanted to add? You did a really good job sharing a lot of the things that have benefited your children.
Just going back to your question about do you need to be Catholic, I would like to offer up that we were never Catholic. So when I back in the 80s and 90s when I was going to school, was not Catholic, and it was opening. It was very open and accepting at that time. And now with my kids also, there is absolutely, we have church, we have a home church, and we practice very regularly, and there is no, there's no issues whatsoever with that. And
your kids don't feel different or anything like that.
Not at all. Mm-hmm. And the similarity of what is being taught from a religious standpoint is a foundational piece of information. It's not overly, you know, like this is the Catholic way, you know, it's very open, I'll just say.
I would add that most Christian religions are more similar than they are different.
100%.
So we hit on most of those things just like everybody else.
Just to echo what Beth had said and I had said also, that Acqun really does create family. And going back to kind of like reaching down and back up, with the kids within that 5th and 6th, for example, because the school is already doing that and has a legacy of that. This was true even when I was in school, that we had a big dog, little dog situation where the older students would and it wasn't just a one-time thing. It was a very involved process of the upperclassmen spending time building connections with the younger students. But even now still, when you walk through the hallways and help out at recess and whatnot, the relationship between the students is more of siblings versus upperclassmen, lowerclassmen. You have these 5th and 6th graders yelling out and cheering for like the first grader when they do something really fun and cool. And again, that the wave of that ripples out into our larger community. We have, you know, these Beth brought up how we've supported family or former alum and challenges. She only named one. I can actually personally think of probably 7 or 8 more just off the top of my head that we've supported well past, not just that, not in the moment of rising to the occasion, like, oh man, you had, you know, your house fire, let's take care of you. But years later, still supporting not just the individual, but the larger family even.
Well, that's wonderful. It sounds like a very, very positive environment.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It makes it worth coming every day.
What about the upcoming school year, the 25-26 school year? Is registration open for that yet?
Absolutely. We open registration in the spring, and we would love for people with the smallest children to try our preschool. Mrs. Wenzel is amazing. We have plenty of openings in all of our grade levels, but they can just contact the school. Mr. Peyton Glave is our enrollment director, and they can reach him at info@aquinschools.org, or they can just go to aquinschools.org and take a look on our website and get a hold of us.
Google Aquin Schools Freeport, Illinois. I'm sure that'll get you
Absolutely.
To the right place.
There's not many of us.
Thank you so much for joining me today. I've been visiting with Beth Heitkamp, principal at Aquin Catholic Academy, as well as Blake Musser, who is a very involved parent with a couple of students at Aquin Catholic Academy. Thank you for joining us today. Once again, I'm FreePod host Sherry Gibson. I invite you to tune in to our regular weekly podcast for local news you've been missing, Thursdays at noon, and of course, our in-depth interviews every Tuesday. All of these are also available to listen to anytime on the FreePod website, through the website of our national public radio partner, WNIJ in DeKalb, or your favorite podcast platform. Again, thank you for listening.